What happens when a vibrant soul collides with someone whose existence is defined by darkness and pain? This question lies at the heart of God of Pain, a story that has captivated millions through its unflinching exploration of power dynamics. The Enemies to Lovers tale follows Anika Volkov, a Russian mafia princess with a sunny disposition, and Creighton King, a man who can only feel pleasure through inflicting pain. Their relationship challenges conventional romance by asking, can someone whose nature is light survive being consumed by darkness? And can someone who thrives on causing pain ever truly love? The story has resonated deeply with readers worldwide, becoming a social media sensation with over 50 million views. Its appeal lies in how it navigates the treacherous waters between control and surrender, showing how two seemingly incompatible souls might find completion in each other's contradictions. Anika Volkov embodies contradiction. As a Russian mafia boss's daughter, she's protected yet confined by her predetermined life. Despite dangerous family ties, she yearns for normalcy, radiating a sunny personality that endears her to everyone at Royal Elite University. Her authenticity is her hallmark, approaching life with genuine enthusiasm, whether volunteering at animal shelters or pursuing ballet. Creighton Kim stands as her opposite. Adopted at 3 after witnessing horrific trauma, he's haunted by memories of blood and violence. His distinctive blue eyes, rimmed with black, reflect his cold demeanor. Creighton's trauma manifests in his need for absolute control and sadistic tendencies. He only feels pleasure through inflicting pain. Despite his adoptive family's love, he remains isolated, obsessed with uncovering the truth about his biological parents' deaths. When these opposing forces meet, the chemistry is explosive. Anika persistently tries to breach Crichton's walls despite his coldness. He finds himself drawn to her vibrant energy, even as he fears he'll ultimately destroy her light. Their relationship begins with a dangerous game of cat and mouse. After discovering a masked intruder with ice blue eyes in her bedroom, Anika becomes inexplicably drawn to him despite the obvious threat, awakening a dormant curiosity within her. Determined to understand this mysterious figure, she tracks Creighton to his hideaway, bringing homemade meals and offering friendship despite his hostile rejections. Each rebuff only strengthens her resolve. If you're going to unleash your inner sadist, unleash it on me, Anika challenges, unaware of the weight her words carry. Creighton's resistance stems from genuine concern. He recognizes his darkness, warning her about his deviant tastes and violent tendencies. The situation escalates when Anika mentions considering another boy as a fake boyfriend. This triggers a possessive fury in Creighton, cracking his facade as he darkly promises consequences if she turns to another man. Their dynamic shifts dramatically after their first intimate encounter, where Creighton administers Annika's first punishment. The experience reveals her masochistic tendencies, while Creighton finds himself drawn not just to her submission, but to her willing embrace of his darkness. Their relationship reveals the complex psychology of dominance and submission. Creighton's need to dominate isn't merely sexual, but a coping mechanism. Having experienced childhood powerlessness, he now orchestrates scenes of control as both sexual expression and psychological reclamation. I have too much excess energy that I can only purge through inflicting violence and pain, he confesses vulnerably, revealing how pain serves as both his burden and release. Annika's journey into submission is equally complex. Initially hesitant, she discovers unexpected depths within herself. During scenes, she craves not just physical sensations, but psychological surrender, the freedom found in relinquishing control. Their encounters escalate in intensity, from introductory spanking to elaborate rope bondage and sensory deprivation, each deepening their connection beyond the physical into complex emotional territory. The aftercare rituals become transformative moments where Crichton's facade cracks, revealing surprising tenderness. As he tends to Annika's marks with gentle attention, we witness his struggle to reconcile his capacity for both cruelty and care. The story takes a devastating turn when Crichton discovers that Annika's parents were responsible for his childhood trauma. Her father, Adrian, killed Crichton's father, Richard, who was running for mayor on an anti-corruption platform, justifying it with a fabricated assault claim to protect his criminal enterprises. After this, Crichton's mother attempted to end both her life and her toddler son's in a nearby lake. This revelation transforms their romance into a darker version of Romeo and Juliet. Crichton is torn between his feelings for Annika, whom he knows is innocent, and his need for vengeance against the Volkoff family. The conflict climaxes in a rain-soaked confrontation, where Crichton holds Annika's brother at gunpoint, forcing her to choose between family and love. She chooses family, shooting Crichton in the chest. "I pulled the trigger when I didn't have to," Annika later confesses as Crichton lies in a medically induced coma. "I could have talked him down, could have found another way. But in that moment, all I saw was my 15-year-old self promising Mom I'd always protect Jeremy." After Annika returns to the United States, Crichton kidnaps her to a private island, creating a dual imprisonment. Annika, physically trapped, Crichton, confined by his thirst for revenge. Their isolation forces confrontation of deep issues. Initially, Crichton uses Annika as his subject of vengeance, subjecting her to sexual punishment while maintaining emotional distance. Yet their forced proximity creates genuine connection through cooking together, dancing in rain, and sharing painful truths. The turning point comes when Crichton realizes he's broken Annika's spirit. "You're not the Crichton I knew," she tells him, "but an imposter who keeps hurting me." This forces him to confront how his revenge is destroying the person who saw his darkness yet chose to stay. When Adrian Volkoff finds them, Annika holds a gun to her own head, choosing herself rather than being torn between men. Crichton's transformation culminates in his confession, "I'd rather die than live without you," finally prioritizing love over vengeance. The story reveals how contradictory traits can coexist within us. Crichton, the sadistic dominant, demonstrates an equal capacity for tenderness. Annika, the sunny optimist, harbors darkness that resonates with Crichton's sadism. Their growth comes through self-acceptance rather than fundamental change. Crichton remains dominant and possessive, while Annika keeps her vibrancy. Their journey shows that healing comes from embracing our shadows alongside our light. Their relationship demonstrates how opposites attract and heal each other through complete acceptance. When Crichton says Annika filled his emptiness with purple color and violets, it represents not an erasure of his darkness, but its transformation. She brings color to his shadows, making them bearable and even beautiful. Their story suggests true love isn't about finding someone perfect, but someone who sees our imperfections as essential. The most profound connections arise not from resolving our contradictions, but from embracing them fully, darkness and all.